People who don't make much money or who otherwise face some challenges in life have a wide array of programs and services available to them, such a wide array that it can be confusing to navigate the field of choices. So the field comes to the people once a year in Jackson County through an event called Project Community Connect. It's scheduled for next Friday, June 2nd at the Medford Armory. Let's get an idea of the services offered and who can potentially make use of them. Two guests in the studio with me, Carrie Pretschtel is the Community Engagement Coordinator for 211 Info in Jackson and Josephine Counties. Carrie, good to see you.
Thank you for having us.
And Linda Reed is here as well. She is with the City of Ashland, where she is a housing program specialist. Linda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Carrie, let's start with you. The 211 info works on the assumption that people dial 211 on their phones and get some info. What is that?
So 211 is the nationwide phone number that people can call for health and social services. So every state in the country has a 211 system in place, and in Oregon it's called 211 info. It serves the entire state, and it spread to Southern Oregon in 2013, where people in, well, every single county in Oregon started in 2013. Before that, it was more Portland-centric. So since 2013, we've been building up a database of resources in Southern Oregon to make sure that people can call. I basically tell people you call 911 for emergencies, you call 211 for everything else.
And so what, all right, well, give us an example, the kinds of things, or what's the most common call you get to 211?
Help with utility bills, help for health, shelter, food banks, things like that, healthcare.
All right, so I can immediately see some overlaps between some of the things that you handle here. So Linda, in the city of Ashland, I imagine you stay busy if you're trying to help people find housing or trying to make sure that that housing can be found in the city of Ashland.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a bit about the complexity of the process, though. I mean, this is a town that has very high real estate values, and lots of people want to live here, and that makes things just that much more expensive. And so what's the bread and butter of your daily day in, day out?
So my position has actually two functions, one of which is to administer community development block grant funds, which the city receives as a direct allocation from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Those funds are awarded each year to social service providers and affordable housing providers who write grant applications to the city, essentially to serve low-income or moderate-income populations with either housing or services. The other part of my job is that I administer the city's very small housing program. Most people don't know that the city of Ashland does have a housing program, and it's related to some of the planning rules that we have in place for things like annexation, increasing your zone, so through zone changes, condominium conversions, and we also have a very small system development charge deferral program. So all of those things, along with community development block grant fund involvement, can come together to help buy down the cost of building housing units, or in the case of annexations or zone change, private developers are required to provide a certain percentage of affordable housing in new developments if they are asking to be annexed into the city or asking to increase the density on their property. So those units then get deed restricted through the city to rent or sell to target populations, generally 80% of area median income, and then those units are deed restricted to have a maximum rental or sale price, which is commensurate with that income level. And so I execute those documents and I income verify the potential renters and purchasers, and then make sure that during the sale that those units don't transfer for greater than the maximum amount. So that's another part of my job. Of course, in general, I offer information and resources regarding affordable housing that's not owned, because the city doesn't own or manage any housing in the city, but that is owned or managed by affordable housing providers. The city also does some fair housing activities that reaches out to private market landlords to just educate them about the rules. And of course, there's other things like my involvement with the Jackson County Homeless Task Force and the Project Community Connect event.
Well, those two things, I mean, cost of housing and homelessness are rather tied together, aren't they?
Yeah, we tend to see it as a continuum of housing. Like, obviously, on one very far end of the continuum is homelessness, and then on the other end is housed, and all people fall somewhere on that continuum. The ability to afford housing, which has been a huge topic lately, is becoming, less and less of a reality for a larger percentage of the population. And as that happens, I think more people fall off into homelessness.
So let's talk about the genesis of Project Community Connect, because it looks like it started right around recession time. Carrie Prejtel, can you give us some facts and figures on its launch and all that?
Well, this is my second year working on this particular project, so I am not the expert on the historical data, but thanks to Linda's wonderful notes, I see that Project Homeless Connect started in 2009, and we later changed the name to Project Community Connect to reflect the sense that the event was intended to welcome all community members regardless of housing status.
So is it broader than just an appeal to people who are homeless, Linda?
Absolutely. You know, Project Community Connect events, well, Project Homeless Connect events started in San Francisco in 2004 under Mayor Gavin Newsom. And it was part of a bigger federal effort to reduce homelessness in 10 years. So lots of communities created a 10-year plan to end homelessness. Jackson County has a 10-year plan to end homelessness, which was adopted here by the county commissioners in 2009. So as part of that process, a lot of communities said, you know, one way is that we need to get the people off the street and engaged with service providers. And so the events sort of sprang out of that. We started our first one in 2009, and it was pretty much the way it is today. I mean, each year I think we learn and improve it. And what we realized is, especially during the recession, is that what we were seeing was not just a strictly homeless population, just people who were on the streets for one reason or another. We were seeing a lot of families who were struggling, or families who had been very stable but were finding themselves, you know, in a less stable position in the community. And how would we engage those populations with the services? I mean, as I liked your intro, which is true that there are many services and resources in the community, but most people don't understand them. They don't understand how to access them, and they don't understand that some services provide services to certain populations. And so navigating that can be a real challenge. And this was one day where we thought, you know, if everybody comes in here, then they can just talk to those service providers and right then and there know whether this is right for them or it's not right for them. And over the years, we have seen a lot of families with children. Over the years, our dates have changed as we sort of experiment with how do we reach more families with children or how do we reach more people who are struggling. At some points in time, we've had it during the school year, and we've put flyers in low-income school districts and Title I schools to try to bring those families in and let them know there are services available for you, too.
Is it timed in particular just before summer vacation so people can get into summer food programs and things like that?
Well, I think that timing-wise, over the years, like, we've had it earlier in May and had not as good of a turnout. The weather seems to have a real impact on how many people are able to come. The day of the week seems to have a real impact. We held it once on a Wednesday because the venue was only available on that day within our date range, and it wasn't as well attended. Last year, we were at the Jackson County Expo because the Armory has been under construction. So those seem to impact it. I think we're always struggling with the hours that were available. So generally, it runs from about 9 to 4 p.m. Obviously, some really popular service providers like the judges and the haircut hairstylists, they tend to stay, you know, till 5 o'clock because they've got a line of people that they're still serving. The hard thing with the school-age children is then do we, you know, wait until the children are out of school and then stay open longer so that those people can access everybody? But it tends to drop off after 4, and so, you know, the vendors tend to leave.
We are talking about Project Community Connect coming to the Medford Armory next Friday, June 2nd, from 10 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Linda Reed is a housing program specialist with the City of Ashland. Carrie Prejtel is the community engagement coordinator in Jackson and Josephine counties for 211 Info. You can join the conversation. You'll have to dial more than 211. It's 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm reminded, Carrie, of the veteran stand-down events. This bears a certain similarity to that.
And I haven't been involved in the Jackson County one, but I have in Josephine County. You probably, Linda, know more about the... So we don't.
All right. But similar things where there's just an array of...
Absolutely.
You meant haircuts and legal services and...
So It would be more for, obviously, veterans, geared towards veterans. Mm-hmm. And so this one is open to the entire community. So veterans are definitely welcome. We do have lots of services. I'm in charge of the vendors who are going to be there, the providers, basically, mm-hmm. who are going to be at the event.
And so it looks like it's organizations that are not governmental, some government agencies as well,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things.
Absolutely. We have Jackson County Circuit Court, judges, mm-hmm. lawyers, Addictions Recovery Center is going to be there. La Clinica is going to have a huge presence. Homeless Pet Project, so people can actually bring their pets and visit a veterinarian. DHS, Rogue Valley Transit District, and the VA will have a large presence there also.
So it is similar to Stand Down, and one of our original planners was a veteran who was very involved with Stand Down, actually a few. Mm-hmm. David Christian, who provides entertainment and has been providing entertainment since the first year in 2009. He does great folk rock and sing-alongs that it's pretty moving to have everybody singing along with him. And he worked for the VA. I think he spent most of his career as a social worker at the VA. So he was very involved with Stand Down. So in our original inception of this event was based on a lot of what Stand Down does. And we have huge VA involvement in this process. And in fact, some years when the Stand Down happens in the same year, because the Stand Down isn't always every year, they can give us surplus supplies from that to hand out, or they have been able to
in
the past.
It really is not just a similarity, but also a relationship there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
What are the things that people tend to gravitate to the most at the previous Project Community mm-hmm. Connect? So what are the services they're most looking for?
So definitely the judges. The judges are
really?
Huge. And
for what? What are they seeking out?
Oh, so the judges are there. They're able to expunge records. They're able to reduce, eliminate fees and fines and warrants. It's probably the only place that you can be in a crowd of people and have someone walk up and say, does anybody have any warrants? And people raise their hands.
they don't walk away.
They don't walk away. They walk toward it. You know, a lot of people who are homeless end up getting fines for things that turn into warrants because they're not able to pay those fines. And so it's
camping fines, things like
right.
that.
Right. And it's really an opportunity for them to have access to these legal resources that can sometimes take a really long time to access and can be complex for people. So we are very thankful. We've always had Judge Lisa Greif involved in this event. She's been involved since 2009, and she has been instrumental in making sure that we always have that service to offer. Last year, they were able to expunge $300,000 in fines.
Wow.
In any given year, they tend to see 25 to 30 people in that day. We have a lot of assistance from Center for Nonprofit Legal Services, the Jackson County Community Circuit Court, and the District Attorney's Office is present. This year, we were really fortunate to have two amazing volunteers to spearhead organizing participant access to legal services, Janice Watson from Center for Nonprofit Legal Services and Jackie Fitzsimmons from the City of Medford. We'll be pre-screening the participants and helping them make the appointments so that it runs really smoothly and efficiently. The Center for Nonprofit Legal Services has been involved since the beginning, and you know that's a very popular service, too.
Is the goal to try to get people connected to services in such a way so that they won't feel like they have to come back to another event like this in the future, or is it just sort of a triage for the moment?
You know, the goal of the Project Community Connect event is to connect those in need with resources and services that reduce or remove barriers, to provide education about resources available in the community, and most importantly, to make interpersonal connections across social and economic boundaries, and ultimately reinforce the concept of community through that engagement. I think that's part of the appeal of the event for both volunteers and for the participants, is that it's really an opportunity to interface with people that you don't run across in your everyday life. And that interpersonal connection really shows you, you know, we're all just people and we're all just struggling with our own things. And it really brings them back into the community. You know, something that's often said about homelessness is that it affects the entire community, and it will take the engagement of the entire community to really end it. Together, we can bring that substantive change to the community, but it will take all sectors of the community actively working together to bring about that positive change. This event seeks to provide a platform for that collaboration, action, and hopefully change.
How do you do outreach? How do you try to get the message to people who could most use the services provided at Project Community Connect and may not be in some sort of stream of information
sure.
where they'd naturally see this information?
Right. We actually take out bus ads. RVTD is a fabulous partner through this event. They provide Explorer passes on the day of the event for people to get home on the bus. They also provide us with the bus ads, although some years in the beginning, I think we were paying. We may still be paying for bus ads. All of the agencies that are involved in the Jackson County Homeless Task Force do outreach to their populations. We have flyers. We have posters. I mean, we do things like this where we can try to get out the word. You know, here in Ashland, the Ashland Community Resource Center hands out little cards that tell about the event and the time and date, and we hand them out at Uncle Foods, and I have some to give to the Friday Peace Meal. Obviously, people can call 211 as well to find out mm-hmm. that information. But all of the service providers who are involved are generally making people aware, especially the participants in their programs, but also their partner agencies.
How many people have tended to show up for previous versions of Project Community Connect?
The number can vary on factors like weather and the day of the week and location. But in general, we serve about 500 people a year.
All right, we only have about a minute left, but I do want to. We were talked about stable people, stable families that found themselves in situations where they're homeless. And that raises a question about just the general cost of living in the Medford Ashland area. Are there people who are homeless here who might not be in other communities?
Hmm. And I think that probably is the case. I mean, I we're hearing more and more about that on the news, and certainly. One other piece of my role at the city is to be the liaison for the Housing and Human Services Commission. And we have had housed families come to us and say, because rents are skyrocketing, we are being forced to move out of this town. We can't remain here because rent prices are just, they're not what we can afford. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, as those rents go up, I mean, you can move from Ashland to Talent or Phoenix or Medford or White City, but all of those areas are seeing rent increases. And at some point, it just is untenable for people.
All right. Some relief for people seeking an array of services available to the public, all available at Project Community Connect. That is next Friday, June 2nd at the Medford Armory from 10 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. Linda Reed is the Housing Program Specialist for the City of Ashland. Carrie Prechtel, the Jackson-Josephine County Community Engagement Coordinator for 211 Info. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and best of luck with Project Community Connect next week.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.